All right, Daniel it is. We all know the story of Daniel. Like I was saying to the kids, which I think you overheard, Daniel was the guy who ended up in the lion's den. And we all know that story, and I bet you the majority of us could actually tell that story to the kids if we had to. I say, tell me the story of Daniel in the lion's den. You could all do it. And it's a very popular story in Sunday school lessons, and it's got a great lesson, of course, a spiritual lesson in and of itself. But it is true that much of us don't know the story of Daniel beyond Daniel in the lion's den. Who was Daniel? Where did he live? What else went on in his life? Well, I'd like to tell you a bit more of the story of Daniel. Daniel was a Jew. He was born to a Jewish family in the land of Israel. But when he was young, probably not even a teenager yet, the Babylonians came and took over his country. So his country was invaded, defeated, and the prominent people, we did talk about this before, the prominent people of Judah were taken by the Babylonians and brought to the city of Babylon, which was to them on the other side of the world. Now, part of the plan, the way that the Babylonians operated, is that they would take young people who showed a lot of promise, people who had obvious intelligence and capacity for service, and they would take them and train them to be advisors and bureaucrats in the Babylonian court. Daniel and three of his friends were selected for that training. When they took them and made them this, they gave them new names. It's interesting. No one here, well, nobody, some of you will know, but hardly anybody will know Daniel's Babylonian name. Does anybody know? Bonus points, gold star. Belteshazzar. So really close. Silver star. Another interesting thing is the name of Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What's interesting is you all know the Babylonian. You didn't know Belteshazzar was Daniel, but you only know the Babylonian names of his friends, because the names of those three guys was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. No one knew. If I'd said, who were those three guys, no one would have had a clue. You only know their Babylonian names. That's kind of interesting. Trivia, maybe, but still kind of interesting. But Daniel, being a man who knew the Lord and wanted to be faithful to the God of his ancestors, the creator of heaven and earth, didn't want to eat the food of the Babylonians. The Babylonians were Gentiles. They ate stuff like pork and shellfish and things that were unclean, not allowed for observant Jews. So he asked permission to eat a simple diet of bread and vegetables and water, and they said, okay, we'll let you do that, but if you don't stay healthy, we're going to make you eat our stuff. Well, Daniel and his friends, you know, just were super healthy and in really good shape. And not only did they become healthy physically, they also were recognized as people of unusual wisdom. At the end of chapter 1 in the book of Daniel, it says that the king of Babylon, after interviewing Daniel and his friends, said that they were 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters of his whole kingdom. So these guys, they really stood out. It was that kind of wisdom and walking the path of godly obedience that is so different than the rest of society That's what got Daniel and his friends in trouble. The magicians and the chanters and the other prominent people looked at Daniel and his friends, and they knew these people were a threat. They were too jealous of them. And that is what got Daniel's friends thrown into the fiery furnace, if you remember that story as well. And that is what got Daniel thrown into the lion's den. It was jealousy on the part of the magicians and enchanters in Babylonian society. Daniel and his friends walked close to God. They listened to God. They were obedient and faithful to the call of God. And they were convinced that it was not their own brilliance, it wasn't their skill, it wasn't their capacity that would make any sense of the world and bring purpose and meaning to life. They understood something profound. They knew that it was God who did that. They knew that even though they were strong and fit, even though they were wise and well-educated, they said, no, it is God upon whom we rely. That point is really shown clearly in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. The king of Babylon had a dream. And it was a very troublesome dream. He knew that it wasn't just an ordinary dream. It wasn't just random thoughts or events that were created in his mind. It was a revelation. It was a message that he was to heed, and he knew it. There was something about it that was so powerful. He says, this is some kind of message from above. So he gathered together the magicians and the enchanters, the Babylonians, and said, fellas, I've had a dream. Please tell me what it means. And they said, yes, your majesty, we would be delighted to tell you what your dream means. Tell us your dream. And he said, no. No, if you're so smart, if you're really magicians and enchanters with power and all that, then I want you to tell me what my dream was. And then tell me what it means. So, what was my dream? None of them were able to do that. Of course not. You know that old story of the emperor who wanted the best of everything? The story is told that a tailor came to him and said, Emperor, I can make you a set of clothes that are magical and amazing. They are so amazing that only the wise and the pure of heart will be able to appreciate their beauty. And he said, oh, please make me a set of clothes like that. Gave him a lot of money. The tailor hid himself away, worked and worked and worked, and came and pretended to dress the emperor. He said, look at the beauty of the color. Look at the texture of the cloth. Isn't it amazing? Of course, he couldn't see anything, but he was embarrassed to admit that he couldn't see it. So he said, oh, yes, it's very beautiful. And he walked out in his new clothes, and said, all you who are wise and discerning will appreciate the beauty of my garments. And he paraded around outside for quite a while until a little girl who knew what she saw and was smart enough to say, hey, the emperor's got no clothes on. And then everybody, including the emperor, realized that they really were fools for falling for the trick of the tailor. Well, in Babylon, it became really clear that the magicians and the enchanters had no clothes. They said, we have power, We have authority. We can connect with the spirits and the otherworldly forces. But when it really came down to it, it was revealed that they were nothing but bluster. There was words with no substance. They had nothing they were connecting to. So the king, seeing finally that his magicians and enchanters were not worth a plug nickel, ordered the execution of all the enchanters and magicians in Babylon. But that cast a very wide net. And it caught up people like Daniel, who was classed with those people. People who hadn't been brought in to talk to the king. So Daniel asked permission to come before the king before he carried out the order to execute all those people. If you want to turn, I'm going to read a part from Daniel chapter 2. If you want to read with me, I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 14 through 28. It's on page 874. In the Pew Bible that I've got up here. Chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 17. Daniel returned to the house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And the mystery, of course, was what was the king's dream. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be the name of the God of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel answered, and this is important, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these." And then he goes on to tell the dream. And the dream was of a statue that was made of different materials: gold and silver and bronze and iron and clay. And about a rock that was cut from the mountain that rolled down and smashed the statue down. This dream was about kingdoms to come and dynasties, and how the kingdom of God was mightier than all of them and would be that which endures. The point I want to think about with you is not so much the details of that dream, but about what it reveals to us about God. the God who reveals mysteries. What we learn about God from this is that God is sovereign. There is nothing that is hidden from God. There is nothing that is beyond Him. There's no place that's veiled from His sight. Even the most secret places of our hearts and minds, even the dreams that go through our mind in the dark of the night, is known to God. Even our most carefully guarded secrets are as clear to Him as words that are spoken in the open air. That is the nature, the reality of our God. The king of Babylon learned this through Daniel. The magicians and the enchanters learned this. God is sovereign. Not the gods of Babylon, not our own capacities, not our own intellect. There is someone named the Lord who is above and beyond and supersedes us all. It says about God that He is the source of wisdom. The enchanters and the magicians thought that they had sources of wisdom that gave them the power that they had in society. But when God is understood to be the source, that we can ask the questions, what does this mean? What does life mean? What is reality all about? What's the reason? Where is this leading? What must we do? What is right and true and noble and holy? How do all these things tie together? And the answer of that comes from God. That when we know God, when we hear God, when we follow God, the answer to those deepest and most profound questions start to come together. It's been said that the creation sprang from the wisdom of God, that all of creation is a manifestation of His wisdom. And everything that is wise had its beginning in the words, "Let there be. Let there be light. Let there be the earth. Let there be the stars." And ever since those words have been spoken, humanity strains and searches for the echo of those first words. We all are searching for God. We all are searching for truth. Daniel, the servant of the Lord, was a man gifted with an acute sense of spiritual hearing who could magnify the wisdom of God to the king of Babylon. And because those words have been incorporated in Scripture, we hear those words and we hear that truth as well. It's revealed that the Lord is the source of hope. Daniel, as we read the story, as we heard it, remember that Daniel was under the sentence of death. He and a whole bunch of other people in Babylon were scheduled to die by the sword of Babylonian soldiers. Because of the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the graciousness of God in sharing with Daniel the answer to the dream, he could answer the king and live and be blessed. This week, a friend of mine died. Maybe some of you know him, Jake Heemstra, who was a giant in youth ministry in Ontario, in the Christian Reformed Church, a good, powerfully godly man, a man whom I respect as I respect few others, because he showed to me love for youth and a passion for God that I've seen in few others. A good, good man. 60 years old or something, had a massive stroke and died a couple of days later. He was buried yesterday. I grieve him. And when I think about Jake Heemstra, a good man, a godly man, it reminds me that we too are under a sentence of death. Some of us know this because we've lost people that we love, even recently. But we all know that unless the Lord returns, that we are mortal. That the end of our days will come and we will leave this life. What God says is there is wisdom that helps us to see past the grave, to know that there is life beyond what we see. And it's in God that we have confidence. I grieve my friend Jake. But I don't grieve as someone who has no hope, because it has been revealed to me, as it's been revealed to the church, that Jesus has won the victory. And that is the wisdom to which I will cling. And that is the wisdom which this church continues to confess. Our God is the God of Daniel. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit He has shown to us to be. And He remains sovereign for us in this land and in this place. The God of Daniel, the God who is ours, is accessible to us through Christ, who is Himself the Word and the wisdom of God. This God of Daniel, the God of us, is the hope that we have because He provides it. There are great mysteries in life, the whys and the whens and the wheres. All questions that we continue to think about and sometimes struggle with. The most significant of them, we have been given a perspective to share, to hang on to. Who's in charge in this place? What is the purpose of life? What will be the outcome of it all? We know the answer. We can be confident and we can be strong together, because our God is indeed the revealer of mysteries. Be blessed by that. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You were with Daniel. You opened his eyes. You gave him the words to say. You let there be a revelation through him of Yourself. We pray that we, in the tradition of Daniel, will have the eyes to see, that You will give us the words to say when words are required, that You will let Yourself be revealed through us as we are faithful together. Thank you for the privilege of being your people in a strange land, in a place where you can be found.